GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 774. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew up in here. Let's start with Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good, man. What's up with you, man?
Been playing a lot of in-game division this week because I finally went ahead and hit level 30. So I've been jumping into the in-game and doing all the global event stuff and chasing shields. And Pete and I, we were playing one night, going into Dark Zone, doing all that good stuff. And I was doing some of the West Side Pier stuff last night with some other friends. And, man, it's a freaking blast. I'll say that. It is an absolute blast. Wish I would have jumped in and been playing it sooner.
Awesome, awesome. And also joining us this week is Pete. What's going on, Pete?
What up? Good morning, good morning, good morning.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Are you also playing the Division 2, or you're changing with different other games?
Did you just hear what Paris said? He said he played
you,
with me.
Talk about, yeah, I said you've been changing it. Have you been changing it other games too, or just the Division? You gotta listen to what I said too, Pete.
No, I refuse to listen to what you say. No, I've been playing.
I don't have the hearing problem.
The usual, you know. It's the Division. It's PUBG. Anything that goes pew pew pew, I'm all behind it, pretty much. But yeah, right now my main focuses have been the Division and PUBG, and like I posted on Twitter the other day, I'm so happy and proud that Paris has finally immersed himself into the world of the Division. It's been almost 2 years now. You know, we've got the hype of the Division 2 coming out. We just left, you know, E3, and I love that he has embraced the Dark Zone. He's embraced. We still have to do survival. That's a must for us. You know, obviously we have our unnamed friend. Yeah, but we need one more to go with that full 4-man squad and survival. And it's
get a PC,
again,
Danny.
It's so much fun.
Hey, you guys also could play with the community, right?
Oh no, no, we will because Danny doesn't have a PC.
Yeah, I'm strictly console, y'all. Come to the console world.
It's funny you say that because I know I've been tweeting about it a little bit. I'm thinking ahead to the Division 2, and I'm for sure going to play it on PC, but. I might jump on Xbox. I might jump on Xbox. That way, all three of us could play together and play. You know, because create multiple characters or whatever. Now, one thing that they could do, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later on, is it would be amazing if Ubisoft and Massive had cross. And it don't have to be cross play, just cross saves across PC and Xbox. That'd be great. Since we know PlayStation will participate, but. If Xbox and PC had cross saves, that'd be amazing. Since, as far as we know, there's no "quote unquote" exclusive content on one platform, they should easily be able to do it. I don't see why not.
You think it's a little bit too early for them to announce?
Yeah, this is way too early. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot more announcements, you know, the rest of the year going into launch. But that would be an amazing thing to see. That way, people don't have to grind the story again to level up, and you just have to worry about playing the end game across platforms, and you can just play with your friends no matter who it is. So if you and I want to play, we can play. All our progress, you know, stays the same regardless of platform, you know, and I can hop back and forth between PC and Xbox. I would love to do that.
Yeah. The past few days I've been playing Wolfenstein 2 for the Switch. And I have to say this, man, Panic Button They did an amazing job with that game, man. It, to me, as of right now, because I played Doom last year for the Switch, this is by far the best port that I've seen from a major PC console game from like PlayStation and Xbox to the Switch. Hands down, the best looking port that I ever seen, man. God damn,
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So now, first off, are you playing in docked mode or are you playing portable?
I started off as portable. I played a little bit with dock mode. I mean, of course, it's not PlayStation 4 or Xbox One status, but it's good. I've been playing more portable because I've been doing stuff with the family stuff.
Okay.
With me.
The reason I asked that, because I've just been looking at impressions of it, and I even saw Digital Foundry's visual breaking it down. It sounds like dock mode has a lot of blur in it. And it actually plays better portable because it's not trying to push true 720p, you know, resolution. Mm-hmm. It's actually downgraded from 720p on portable, and it looks and plays a lot better portable. So I was just curious your hands-on experience with that.
Yeah, I just been playing straight up portable. I think I played doc for like a few minutes, but I'm gonna try that again today after the World Cup, of course. And later on tonight, I'm definitely going to do that. But, I mean, of course, you could tell the difference. Like, some of the character facial impressions and, like, the graphics of, like, background and all that stuff. Like, there's some certain changes you could tell from, like, the main game. But overall, dude, the story, soundtrack, voice acting, everything is on point. And the most important thing is the experience of playing that. Like, dude, Wolfenstein 2, it's a great game. So imagine taking that on the go and playing for the first time. Like, if you never played Wolfenstein, dude, it's awesome. Like, I even mentioned this to Paris. I said to him that I think if I had a choice, like, let's say all three versions came out at the same time, I think I would have gotten the Switch version instead of Xbox and PlayStation. Not because of the graphics or anything like that. It's because I've been traveling a lot. And that would have been cool to just take it with me all the time and not miss the story and so on. Because sometimes when I get a game for review and I'm traveling, I can't play it because it's on my Xbox or my PlayStation. So I think I'm fine with that, man. I'm not too picky when it comes to like the graphics, and I'm not picky about that stuff, man. You know, as long as it plays good and it feels good, I'm good. I'm really good with that. So. But yeah, it's really good, man. I highly recommend for you guys to check it out. I'm going to review it later on, hopefully like later this week. I want to give it some time because I know you mentioned about dock mode. I got to try that more. So, but like I said, dude, like I think Nintendo Switch is a powerful, powerful console, man, for you to play all these type of games on the go, man. It's freaking incredible. I still to this day, I think that my Switch is my favorite console right now, man. Hands down, surpass PlayStation 4 and Xbox, man, because of that. Just playing all those games on the go, which is different, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. You also can find us at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories. And yeah, send us your feedback if you can. Share with your friends, and we definitely need your support.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so let's talk about this, man. I think it was Pete that started this conversation in our private chat, but about Google starting, they're working on a console, video game console that is going to compete with PlayStation 4 and Xbox. What are your thoughts about this? Because I have a lot of things to say. But I want you guys to start off first.
Well,
your opinion about this.
You know, it's been no surprise. I mean, I think Google's had their hand in the gaming industry, whether it's be out in the open or it's in the background. They've been doing this for a handful of years now. So I want to say it was the Inquisitor or some other news source talked about this a while back. And they revealed the name as codename Yeti, which is the name of the project for Google. And then Kotaku this past week, shout out to Jason Schreier, by the way, does a phenomenal job, you know, pretty much, dropping bombs nonstop. I think, Danny, you and I got to meet him, like, I think it was our last day at E3 this past year. And I think he was at the Ubisoft event, pre-E3 event, I think, last year. Like, we bumped into him in the elevator or something, Paris. I think that was, I think that's how we met him.
He said he wants to come on.
Oh, so, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. But, you know, he says that he's got he announced that he had 5 unnamed sources that he didn't want to reveal. Some were directly responsible or directly had their hands involved with the project. Some were, you know, secondhand sources. So what they're talking about is a cloud-based functionality that allows you to stream your games. So regardless of your hardware, you can play, you know, top tier games. I would love to see something like this, but there's a bunch of concerns that I have that I'm worried about before something like this can be considered mainstream. I know Microsoft had some, you know, alluding to at E3 when they were talking about their Azure service, you know, this past E3. Yves Guillemot from Ubisoft talked about, you know, the future being streaming would replace consoles entirely. But the concern is the history of failure with Google, whether it be their physical product not actually launching. Let's not forget the Nexus Player from 2014 that I was all on board about, and then it disappeared weeks after the launch. We have services like OnLive that sounded great in theory, but in reality, it just didn't work. And I think that was more infrastructure with compression issues and latency concerns. But there's also things like Amazon, where they're creeping their way into this whole concept of game streaming. But we don't know if they're any closer, or are they? You know, we saw Albert Pinello leave Microsoft after many, many years. We're talking 18, 20 years, I think, at Xbox. He left to go work for Amazon now. For, you know, Echo and Alexa and how it works in games. But they don't have a major game that's ever shipped. They actually canceled Breakaway last year, which was supposed to be their multiplayer brawler to support Amazon games. And I think the big concern is internet. And then, you know, we have that silent gorilla, the net neutrality concerns. You know, how does that play into it? You have to think about that. Yeah, they have the server infrastructure and, you know, they've got Google Fiber as a supporting backbone for it, but Google Fiber is only available in a handful of cities. So I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to support it 100%. Latency is always going to be the enemy in a game like this. Also, we'll take the darling of E3. We'll take Cyberpunk 2077, right? We'll say, well, you know, let's just put our imaginary hats on. Let's say Cyberpunk 2077 is a game we play in the future. Google's got their gaming system online. I don't know if I want to play a game like that with a lot of compression, a lot of latency that's going to sully the experience because it's going out. It's going over, you know, the internet as opposed to going a local, you know, over local. I know it's not a requirement, but that's something that if this is going to be the future, United States internet isn't ready for it, especially not at the cost that they're pushing it across around everywhere. The good thing, some of the positives include that Google recently hired Phil Harrison, who is a former exec over at Sony and Microsoft.
That's good.
No. You never know.
Really? Never Pete? Know. That's no. not good, Pete.
It's a positive.
That's not good. No, I don't.
It's a positive. From the executive side, it doesn't even have to be technical. Yeah. I'm just saying from the executive side, you know, they've also been hiring developers and marketing, you know, marketing folks. So I don't think this is something we're going to be seeing in 2019. This is something we're going to be seeing a lot further along, but I don't know.
Feels bad. Phil Harrison. It's a positive thing. Yo, I have some stories, but Paris, I know you want to say a couple of things about this too, but I got some stories about that.
Just to continue on what Pete is saying, I mean, everything you said was 100% on that, except the Phil Harrison thing. We just simply do not agree on that. But here's my thing. Yep. They're not going to target us with this or anyone that's listening or watching this podcast right now. Google's going after the mainstream. They're going after the Fortnite players. Let's just put it that way, a phenomenon where it's bringing in people that normally don't play games into it. It's also who Microsoft Xbox is going to be going after. And, you know, this isn't coming in 2019, probably not 2020. This is still a few years down the road. And like Pete said, in the United States, bandwidth is not where it needs to be to truly support this. You brought up something like OnLive, which I actually participated in back when it came. I guess it was, what, like 2011 up in there somewhere. And it worked, but just didn't work great because, again, the technology wasn't where it needed to be. And that's why even right now in 2018, it's still not exactly where it needs to be. Like I said, I tried out PlayStation Now a few months ago. It works, but you still have that thing in the back of your head where you know it's not 100% accurate with the latency, right? So, but this is coming. Cloud gaming is coming. NVIDIA's doing it. Xbox is doing it. EA's doing it. Now we see that Google wants to get into it as well. But for me, I would never embrace this 100% because I need that. I need the PC or I need the console in my house to truly feel like it works. Hell, even right now with Steam, with the Steam Link, I play around with that every now and again. And that's in my house on my LAN, you know, over a gigabit connection. And I still, in my head, don't feel like it's 100% where it needs to be as far as the latency goes. So this is something where, kind of like Phil Spencer talked about during E3, where it doesn't matter what device you pick up, you'll be able to just use it and play it. And that's probably where Google's going to go with it. I know Danny and I talked about this offline, where I feel like if Google truly wants to get in this game to take on Xbox and to take on PlayStation and to lure in, you know, major third-party developers and even have their own in-house development team for AAA games, you have to have real hardware. And I know they've talked in that article about some hardware component. We don't know what that is, but Google obviously has the war chest. They can invest in the infrastructure and all that to truly have a piece of hardware that competes with the next Xbox and the PlayStation 5 and things like that, if they so choose. Or is Google just going to try and go down this cloud streaming route? We simply don't know yet because this is obviously early days and they've not officially talked about this yet at all. But if they truly want to be a competitor in this space, there's got to be some console hardware there. It has to be. It can't just be cloud streaming, even though I know that's where the industry's going. And if we're probably 5 years from now, it's going to be a reality. But I mean, maybe we're dinosaurs at this point, but I will never embrace the cloud streaming for my main gaming. It would supplement whatever I game with, but it would never be my main source to game because, like we said, the bandwidth isn't there today. Even if over mobile devices, if T-Mobile or AT&T, you know, whatever the next version of LTE is going to be, can support it on a mobile platform, it's still in the back of my head. It's not something I'm going to want to truly use 100%. And the other thing I said to Danny, I'll be quiet, is let's also think of this. I know it's Google, but Microsoft has been at this since 2001, and then obviously Xbox Live since 2002. Hell, if Google were to jump into this right now, I don't even think they could compete with what Nintendo's doing on an online service, let alone what Xbox is doing with Xbox Live. That has literally taken them a decade and a half to perfect to where it is. And PlayStation Network, which has been doing it since, what, 2006, something like that, it's still not 100% there. And obviously, like we see with Nintendo, they still haven't figured out what they're going to do. So there's no way Google's going to be able to just jump into this day one and have a fully fleshed out online service, because that is the other key component with this if it's going to truly work. So I'm glad that there's talk of this, but kind of like Pete said, with some of their failures in the past, that Google has these great ideas and then they never see them to completion. About the only damn thing they've seen to completion is Android. And that's about it. Google Glass, Google Plus, like you said, the Nexus, they have all these hardware components that never make it to final production. They never make it to 1.0. So this is, in my opinion, this is a lot of talk. Until I actually see them officially unveil their plan, I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think the majority of the stuff that I was talking to Paris about was investing into getting exclusive games for the console. It's not cheap. Now, what are the chances of a company like 2K, Ubisoft, Activision to say, you know what? Let's work on an exclusive for Google. You know, because they could easily release that on Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox, or even PC, and still will sell more than the Google console version. You know, so Google, they have to seriously put some money down to get that exclusive, which I think a lot of companies are not going to take that risk, man. They're not going to take that risk. You know, I think companies did that with the Wii. Not with the Wii, with the Wii U. Let's say, for example, I think it was Zombie U was a perfect one. That game was an exclusive for the Wii U. Ubisoft thought that that system was going to be big, and the game was a failure, a huge failure. But then they ported it to the Xbox One, and also PlayStation 4 a couple of years after that. You know, so that's gonna be a tough one. The companies in the past have tried to do that, release like a console to compete with Nintendo at that time, and it was a huge failure. Let's go with 3DO. I think what was another one? Neo Geo. They try to release a console. That was a huge failure. I'm thinking other ones. My Atari with Jaguar. Oof.
VCS.
What was the other one with the? which one was the other one that it was like a mobile phone? Was it Engage? Engage? I think it was called.
It might have been something the Engage.
Like, something like that. That was like Nokia. That.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Nokia.
Huge failure. Yeah.
TurboGrafx-16, on and on. There's a lot of people have attempted it over the years.
Well, Paris, there's something that you mentioned in your comment about mobile not being able to support it. I actually went to a telecom partner meeting a couple of months ago down here in South Florida. 5G potentially could do that.
No. Let me clarify. Yeah, of course. 5G as far as speed, I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying is our current, and I'm just speaking North America, our current North America bands, mobile cellular plan service stuff like that, like even though T-Mobile and all of them are saying it's unlimited now, you're really capped at a certain amount of gigabytes, right? And then they nerf your speed. So what I'm saying is that would have to change as well, because if we start gaming and we're cloud streaming on our mobile devices, your bandwidth, boop, you're going to use that up in like a freaking day.
Well, it's 26 gigs is the T-Mobile limit where they start to cap you. If you start averaging 26 gigs or more, 25 gigs or something like that. I know this because a former coworker of mine didn't have internet at his house for like a year and a half. It was streaming everything. And within 3 months, he was capped. He got a notice from T-Mobile that said, you know, your bandwidth utilization is way higher than the average, the average T-Mobile user. You are now going to be capped at 25 megs. Or 25 gigs of data per month. Anytime you go over 25 gigs of data, your bandwidth speeds will be decreased, will be throttled as a result. But and it's not like the devices can't handle it, because I know iPhone 8 and up can support the 5G because it already has the antenna built into the phone. So, you know, just I know the devices should be able to handle it. Again, like we said, infrastructure is key. And until the infrastructure, the overlying infrastructure can be fixed, or adapted to make it better for the overall consumer, it's still going to be a niche product. And in that case, best of luck to you.
Yeah. Now, Paris, we have to talk about this. Why we disagree with Pete about Phil Harrison?
Okay, what you and I were talking about offline when we realized it was Phil Harrison that was a part of this.
Yeah,
he was one of the main Xbox executives in 2013 with the whole message of what they were trying to do. And he was one of the main people that made it confusing as hell trying to understand what Xbox was doing in 2013. Not to mention, go even earlier than that, his track record with Atari. And then, yeah, I know he's with PlayStation and things like that, but he's not necessarily the most innovative person in the world. And I shouldn't say that. That's a hard, too harsh of a word. I shouldn't say that. I strike that. What I'm trying to say is he doesn't have the quote unquote resume of success for launching new initiatives in the gaming space is what I'm trying to say.
I think industry wise, like the industry, he has a great resume because he's been, you know, PlayStation, Atari, you know, Xbox, all that stuff. But as a consumer, I'm worried as hell because, like you said, the message during the Xbox One launch, confusing as hell. I went to an event years ago that I went to San Francisco for an event, and it was for Alone in the Dark, which was published by Atari. And when I went there, you know, we sat down. Phil Harrison went on stage to talk about the game. He's like, yo, nobody has ever done this before, episodic and this and that. The game was a freaking failure. The game was just trash, you know. But I don't know. I just feel like he's, in my opinion, is the wrong person for this. I think if they would have gotten like someone like, let's say, Jay Allard or maybe Peter Moore or like people like that, okay, I'll be like, you know what? I'll give it a chance. I'll definitely will, you know, maybe have some interviews, get to see this stuff, and maybe they will make me buy the product, because the way how they're really good at doing the presentations and hype the product up and everything. Like Peter Moore and Jay Adler, they were always good at that, man, when they were talking about the console. Even before that, Peter Moore was involved with, he was the person in charge for the Sega Dreamcast. He was the one that marketing wise, every year at E3, they had like a big presentation for the Dreamcast. He was the one that did all that, him and his team. You know, so we need people like that, I think, in my opinion, to promote this new Google console in the future. But Phil Harrison, I just had bad experience. I just don't see it, man. Don't see it at all.
Well, remember, just understand, he doesn't have to be responsible for the technical component, and I don't think he would be that. You know, but you do need a, you need an executive to be able to make business decisions and interface with Google. And I don't think they're hiring him in the vein of a Phil Spencer or a Jay Allard. But you do need someone to be head of that. Remember, he didn't. I mean, if you want to talk, granted, I understand you guys have your qualms and your concerns with hiring him. But he was also there at Gaikai. And started that communication between him and between Gaikai and Sony for Sony to buy Gaikai. Which, if you think about it, is a major predecessor to what we're even talking about at this time.
Look at your parrot. I'm not giving him credit for Gaikai. That was, and I'm blanking on his name, Dave, what's his face? That was his vision, not Phil Harrison. All I'm look, and this is not the trash Phil Harrison day, but what I'm just saying is every, you name these companies that he's been with, he's never been with them at the peak of their success. He's always been with them when they've been having issues. And I've never seen him stay at the company to dig that said company out of the bad issue that they were having. He always leaves to the next opportunity. So all I'm saying is his name doesn't strike excitement for me that the Google thing. Oh man. Like if they were saying, like Danny said, if they're like Peter Moore left the soccer stuff and is now back in gaming with Google, I would be excited. That dude could sell me anything, because that's
even water.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because even though this is a conversation Danny and I are having offline, even though the Dreamcast quote unquote was not a success in the normal terms, he was the guy at Dreamcast that sold everyone on the vision of what the Dreamcast could be. And like I said offline, to this day, still one of my favorite consoles of all time. There is no Xbox without Dreamcast. There is no online gaming service the way we see it today in 2018 without the Dreamcast. You know what I'm saying? So, and then obviously you look at the stuff that he did, you know, with Xbox and all that. And when he was at EA, you know, EA Sports, I was into that stuff because you believe him when he talks. You know, he is the ultimate salesman when it comes to that stuff. And that's all I'm saying is, and again, this is all early days. Who knows what the hell Google's going to do? Like you said, Pete, he's not the Phil Spencer for Google. There's no way in hell he can be the Phil Spencer for Google. They need that type of face, that type of voice to lead the charge when they're officially ready to start talking about this stuff. Because if they roll Phil Harrison out there at the next Google event and talking about the gaming thing, I'm going to roll my eyes and go do something else. I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to work. But that's just me, just my opinion. This could be a colossal success or a colossal disaster. We don't know, because we truly don't know what Google's going to do yet.
Well, I do have a question for you guys.
What if
they announce this console, it's coming out and everything? What is it that you would like to see? Don't, you know, that like the first two, three things that you think is super important for you as a consumer? Go.
You didn't say who needed to go. You just said go.
Anybody, any one of you.
Why don't you go? Answer your own question.
Me, I think I want to be done with the whole streaming stuff. I think just downloading the games will be good still. Add the streaming stuff later. I think it's a little bit too early, in my opinion. Plus, the whole net neutrality situation is going on. That exclusive games, gave me some games that's not available on other consoles. Stick with a lot of the indie games. Make it cheap. If you really want to compete, make it cheap. And also, control. The controllers. Is it going to be the same as the Xbox? Is it optional for me to put my other controllers to the console? Like similar to, I think, Atari. They have like the system where you could use your own controller instead of theirs. Like something like that I would like to see. And that's it. In my opinion. I could care less about anything else.
I mean, from what Paris, the question that Paris asked, you know, I don't think downloading is an option. I mean, the whole concept of me trying to play a game, we'll use Cyberpunk 77, or wait, what's the game that they just announced is going to be like 100 gigs or something like that? You can't expect someone to be able to download something like that to your device. Not everybody's going to be able to download it to a computer to play. This is supposed to target multiple platforms. So if I'm downloading this to, like, let's say an iPad or my iPhone, you know, I may not have the 50 to 60 gigs of free space to do it. So it has to stream. So compression, latency, and, you know, the ability to stream a quality product is going to be paramount for this to succeed. If I'm going to be playing a game and it's going to be glitchy as hell, it's going to be, you know, stuttering and all jaggy, I don't want to do it. Like, get this working 100% or don't launch it. I mean, if you got to do this out until 2025, 2030 before you launch, do that. But the moment the first person has that experience where it gets, you know, where it's, and again, it's all based on your connection. If your connection is not 100%, You know, you're trying to do this while you're driving between, you know, LA and Vegas, and you hit that dead zone in the middle of the desert and your experience goes to crap. I don't want to pay for it, especially if it's something that you got to pay for. No, thank you. That's the most important thing. And then obviously it's going to be, you know, first and third party support. It has to support, games that people want to play, not games on a mobile catalog of games. Because, yes, you've got games like PUBG Mobile that apparently, according to people, play better than the actual PC version. But if I'm playing a Fortnite game, or if I'm playing Fortnite, period, on my mobile device, and that game doesn't play at least as good as it does when I'm at home or in an area where it's got, you know, good cell service, you know, I don't want a subpar experience if I'm going to be paying for a streaming quality, you know, a streaming service such as this.
Okay. Paris?
Yeah, bottom line, it's just the cloud streaming stuff would be great as a supplement. So I would want real hardware to be able to play. And like you said, game wise, I mean, it needs to be AAA stuff. They're going to need to get real third party support. They're also going to need to have a couple games exclusive to that platform to get me interested in it. Because if not, why am I investing in that platform when I already have an Xbox, a PlayStation, Nintendo, and a PC? You know, you're coming in as the fourth wheel. You need to have something that's going to incentivize people to want to jump on your platform. Yep. And price obviously is going to be a big thing in that, and the actual games that are there to play. But like you said, I would not get it as a streaming only service. It would have to be compelling hardware. And I'm talking 4K, 60 frame, all that stuff that we're expecting from the next Xbox and a PlayStation 5 would need to be whatever this Google platform is going to be as well. And the streaming stuff, hey, great supplement to it. Something I could do on the go, or if I'm not at home on my main console, I could fire up my tablet or, you know, another PC or whatever and be able to play, you know, streaming. But when I'm sitting out for my main gaming, for my main enjoyment, has to be hardware, or I'm just not going to buy into it. At least not in today's current infrastructure, you know, for bandwidth. It's just simply not going to work.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Similar to the mystery that Google has with their whole streaming platform, there's another mystery, and that's just who you're going to be investigating. I'm talking about Hunt a Killer. Shout out to the folks at Hunt a Killer for sponsoring the Gamertag Radio podcast. And you want to have the opportunity to be on the inside track, similar to like your favorite crime show or podcast, and get to solve the murder like a real detective. Hunt a Killer lets you do just that. It's an interactive investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. The wife and I have been doing this for the last couple of months, and I got to say, it's pretty interesting, right? So like the wife and I will be sitting out there with the, you know, on the dinner table with like our laptops out and paper and pen. You got to take all these clues that you get every month as part of this. So far we've done 3 months worth of it, and there's like, just, you know, every month there's a new box of clues. Of it could be notes, it could be, you know, patient files, it could be like, I got a stopwatch, like one of those old school stopwatches, that like a pocket watch that you would like clip to your belt and then like you'd pull out of your pocket, just little things like that that you use, you know, as part of your investigation. So along with that, you know, Hunt a Killer delivers, you know, correspondence and things that would put you into the mind of the killer you're trying to investigate. You know, you get to decode and investigate. Let me tell you, there's this first part where I was, you know, it took me about 90 minutes and I was able to unravel the clue and actually, you know, had to write it all down. It was so exciting. I thought it kind of felt like I was back in like CSI stuff. So, you know, there's something else. They've also partnered with the Cold Case Foundation, and part of your monthly membership will go towards helping police departments catch real killers and close cold cases. So join myself, my family, and tens of thousands of others by signing up for a Hunt a Killer membership at huntakiller.com. And if investigating isn't your thing, you might know someone who would love this as a gift. And to help support the GTR show, they've offered a 10% discount on the first month for our listeners, but it's only available for a limited time. So go now to huntakiller.com and use the code GTR to get 10% off your first month. Huntakiller.com. Can you solve the case?
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so this week we're going to review Crash Bandicoot for the Xbox One, also Switch and PC. And I have my brother here, Nano, joining me for this review. What's up, Nano?
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, man. I remember we were talking about the game, and I said to you, hey, you want a review copy so we could definitely play it?
Because I know. You know what? This game is it's one of those childhood nightmares that I had, you know, like put away in my past that I didn't want to go back to.
Yeah,
just because like I never beat this game. It was so hard when I was growing up, and I play it now, and it's still equally frustrating. But I'm a little more, you know, tech savvy, and I guess I could get through it without, you know, breaking my controller. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I was looking forward to this game coming out on the Xbox and on the Switch too. I got my hands on it for the PS4 release. I think it was like a year or two ago.
Yeah. You guys got that, and was there any differences with that in the Xbox version? It was the same.
You know, I
for you, because I know you had that one.
I didn't delve too deep into the PlayStation one.
I got it for
Aiden and Blake, my sons, and you know, they were just big fans of the Crash games, and they played it on my old PlayStation.
Okay.
And, you know, they wanted it all together. I saw it was going to be in one package, so I bought them the game, and I never really touched it. But that's just – I'm more of an Xbox guy.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation was, you know, theirs, so I never really got a chance to really dig deep into that game. So, you know, the release on the Xbox, I was really looking forward to it. On the Switch even more, just because, you know, portable.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those that don't know, this is the trilogy package, where it's Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. It has updated graphics. The first one, I think, is the one that has like the least updated graphics compared to the other two.
It runs about as good as a game from 1996.
Of course,
with, you know, updated graphics.
But even the character looks
Yeah, no, the way part two and three play are a little smoother than the first one, but it's still, you know, it's leaps and bounds, you know, from its original release.
Yeah, of course.
And any fan, you know, from, you know, this is a 20 year game?
22 years? 1996,
I think it was released. So, you know, it's been a while. And if you grew up on these games, then... You know, if you haven't touched Crash Bandicoot since then, you'll be amazed at how good it looks and how well it actually plays. And it's very, you know, true to its original game. You know, it's just as difficult. The controls aren't too elaborate. You know, it's still the basic, you know, Crash games. You know, like it's just in part one, you really only jump and spin. So you know, they didn't go too crazy with, you know, changing any mechanics of the game or anything. So It's about as original as you can get, except for the HD graphics are a little more improved, and the sound. I think the soundtrack is a little better, too. Oh, yeah. It sounds a lot better.
Yeah. And the voice quality is better,
too. Yeah, no, everything all around. Like, this Vicarious did a great job with this game.
One thing I wanted to mention, too, is that, you know, I showed you finally the Nintendo Switch version.
Because
you haven't seen it yet. And you were like, oh, graphics is not there like the Xbox, which I understand. But remember, this is a console where you could take it on the go. So I could play this, you know, while I'm traveling, you know, buses, trains, I could play this.
That's the one thing that I'm a little jealous of, because, like, I have to, you know, I have to sit down on my couch.
And play it.
And play the Xbox game. You know, it's so, like, sometimes when I go out, I want to play. Like, I've been so obsessed with Crash for the past, like, 2-3 days that I just want to get the game over with, because like I said, I never beat the game. And, you know, I'm a little older now, and I'm a little better than before. You know, my 9-year-old self when I was playing this game originally. But, you know, I'm able to play the game now and actually get through the levels, which is just a lot of memorization. And these levels are tough. Like, they're just as hard as I remember.
Especially the first game. But
Crash in general is
now,
so difficult.
For us, was hard when we were young. Now, my nephews, they were like part of the same age when this game came out back in the 90s. Now, my question is to you, what they say about the game now playing it again? Because I know
they get equally as frustrated. I let Aiden and Blake, my son Aiden is 10. My youngest son, Blake, he's 7. They, when I see them play the game and I see their frustration, I could just imagine the way I looked. And it's exactly like the expression that they're giving me, because it's just as hard, you know, but it's challenging. And it's, you know, seeing them get through the levels is. There's like that moment of you know, you have that reward of beating a very difficult level that took you 30 minutes to an hour to even remember every single little, you know, enemy movement and platform that changes. You know, the timing, all this stuff is great. You know, I like seeing the kids, you know, not really breeze through levels like with most games nowadays. I think the difficulty is not there anymore. And this is very nostalgic for me, but seeing them play it and seeing them enjoying the difficulty of each level and you know, like meeting the challenges and kind of, you know, surprising themselves and beating this. Because I told them straight up, you know, like I didn't beat this game. You know, like when I was your age, I never beat it. I don't even think I got past like the third world.
Well, I have a different story when it comes to that. I played the first one, but I never got to play the second and third. So second and third game is completely new to me. So
the second game is new to me, because I skipped that one entirely.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Just because I was so turned off by the first one. I'm like, man, you know, why am I going to buy the second one? I never even beat the first.
So what made you go to third?
A friend let me borrow it. I was like in between games, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll give Crash another try. I never beat the third one. But that's kind of like a bad habit I had growing up. And there was just like during, you know, the 90s, there were so many good games, you know, and I like,
especially 97 was like, well, Final Fantasy.
I think 97 was Final Fantasy seven.
Yeah. A classic.
And I don't think I played a game, you know, other than Final Fantasy seven for the next 3-4 years. Yeah. Like I was obsessed with that game.
Yeah.
So games like Crash and a lot of platformers, kind of just, it got swept under the rug with me, you know, like I never really went back to play them. And I had that, you know, I just forgot about it. You know what I mean? And like having this trilogy available and all three games in one game, it's awesome. You know, like I can get through them all now, and I'm almost done with the first one. I'm stuck on a level right now, which is, it'll take me about another hour or so to like play it, you know, get through it. But it's just, it's like I said, these levels are so difficult. It doesn't matter what age you are. And it's fun to play it now. Like, me and my kids take turns.
Yeah, because you guys planned it out. Like, okay, I want you to play the third game. I'm going to play the first one.
Yeah, yeah. No, my youngest son is taking the third one. My oldest is taking care of the second game, and I'm handling the first one.
Which is the toughest.
Just because I have, like, there's some unsettled, you know, revenge. is- yeah. Like, that game's mine. Nobody's touching it. Yeah. But, yeah, like, we're all, you know, doing it. They watch me play. I watch them play, and it's fun. You know, it's a good trilogy. I think they did a fantastic job, you know, re-releasing this game. And it's, I feel like there may be differences from the original PlayStation one, because that one was so good that I was thinking, you know, with this new re-release, I hope they don't change much. Mm-hmm. But
I think they added new levels, new extra levels.
I think there's new challenges and, yeah. Something, you know, like bonus stages and stuff that were added to, 2 and 3. But again, it's great, you know, like, the Switch itself, like I was playing a little bit on your Switch, and it's, I'm a little jealous that you get to take it around.
Well, I'm a little jealous with yours, you know what, with your version, because I like to get achievements. I can't get achievements with the Switch.
You can't.
I can't.
That's right.
So the achievements, how it works with yours is by level, by certain things you collect, or
yeah,
a mix.
So far I've seen achievements come out with there was, you know, you die a lot in this game.
Oh, like, of course,
I'm not gonna
lie
to you.
Yeah, of course.
You hear game over more than once.
I've been going through the same thing with the Switch.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're going to get an achievement on the Xbox.
On the Xbox, not on the Switch.
You get an achievement. It was a sad achievement for me, but it's, you know, I died so many times that I got an achievement for, and I'm like, oh, well, thanks, I guess.
So people that are following you, it's basically
they know that you suck at the game.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's something that, like, Crash, you have to die in this game, because there's no way that you can get through it on your first try. The levels are so, like, they're so complicated, and it takes a lot of, you know, redos and mulligans, and you're going to go over and over again until you master the level, you know? And when you master it and you get through the level, you just, there's this sense of pride and, you know, holy crap, I can't believe I did it, until you get to the next level, and it's even more difficult. And then you're like, oh, man, I got to do this again, you know? Yeah. But that's what gets me going back to Crash. Like, right now I'm so stuck on, you know, shooters and online massive multiplayer games that I needed a break. And I think a platformer like this is great for anybody that wants to change.
Yeah, no, I think also to play with a family. Like, I was going to ask you about Blake, my youngest nephew. He was the one that finished Cuphead 100%+. I think it's almost 200%.
I think he has it at 199.
199 right now. So 199% on Cuphead. He finished it the hardest difficulty, right? Now, compared to this game, to Cuphead, do you see him struggling?
No, he struggles
more?
Way more on this game.
More than Cuphead.
Which is crazy, because, you know, Cuphead is a really tough game. I didn't beat it.
I did it normal, but not
yeah,
his
no, I haven't beat it in his difficulty. Like, he did it on expert or whatever the highest difficulty is.
Yeah.
I can't even hang with him, you know? Like, but he plays his game, and he's, I think the simplicity of the game itself, like, in the mechanics of, like, just, you know, you run up and down, left and right, and you jump, and it's just a lot of timing, a lot of memorization on the levels.
And spin. You also got to spin.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's weird, because Cuphead is just, it's a lot more fluid, I think, and it doesn't require so much, I want to say timing is, like, the big thing, you know? Like, in Cuphead, you can kind of remember, everything has a pattern in Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
And once you memorize that pattern, you're good, you know? But, like, in Crash, you can memorize a pattern all you want. You mess up and you jump at the wrong moment, you fall, you die, you're back to the beginning of that level. And it's frustrating.
Yeah, like, yeah, it is. It's tough.
At least in Cuphead, you play with a partner, and you could get, you know, they can bring you back to life every now and then if you're working together. You don't have that here. You don't have that luxury.
You're on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own, and good luck to you, man. I hope you get through it.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil the second and third game, because those two games are totally new to me. So my goal is to finish the first game. Once I finish the first game, I'm going to go to the second, then the third. I'm just going to go, like, you know.
I'm about, like that. I think, 80% with the first game. I'm going to sit down. I think I'm going to finish it, like, you know, the next day or two.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same.
Hopefully, you know, like, I'm talking, you know, with a lot of gusto right now, because it took me 1 hour to beat one level yesterday. it was just that frustrating. But yeah, it's the challenges. It's what's gonna keep you coming back, I think.
Yep.
And if you're a fan of old school games, and this is like, you know,
definitely a must have,
cream of the crop. You know, like it's a fantastic remake. In all aspects, it blows out, you know, its predecessor. It's graphically amazing. Soundtrack is great. It sounds amazing.
And this is the first time that it's available on Xbox, Nintendo Switch, the PC.
That was surprising.
It's always been a PlayStation game. Always.
That's kind of what like caught my attention at the most, because I honestly didn't even know this was going to come out for the Xbox and Switch. Mm. You know, like PlayStation has their titles and they kind of hang on to it. But they, you know, like
Activision,
you know, is allowing this to happen, and it's
more money for them too, man.
It's everywhere. Who's going to say no to that?
Yeah, definitely.
But it's surprising that it took them 20 years to actually, you know, let it go. But yeah, it's worth the buy. I think Crash is a great game. I haven't had this much fun with like an old school game in a long time.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think once I finish the Switch version, I'll try to see if I could lend you my Switch. You could play to see if you could finish it too.
What we could do is game share, I guess, and you could download Crash.
Yeah, but it's dope. It's dope. All right, so yeah. Anything else, Nano? I think people should definitely try this game out. It's a lot of fun.
If I had to give it a score, man, it's really worth the buy. I'd say, you know, like eight out of ten. Like
yeah, I think 8 is good.
It's a good game. You know, it's well worth the purchase. If you're kind of, you know, bored of the order, you know, the stuff that's all over the, you know, PUBG, Fortnite, all these games that are free to play, more or less. Don't, you know, like get away from the ordinary thing that you do every day, you know, and then like go back to like old school games,
take a break and try this out. And yeah, this is part of history too, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, the difficulty in this game will have you coming back.
Yeah,
if you're a fan of being challenged, this is one game for you, and it's frustrating, but it's rewarding when you beat the game. You know, like when you beat a level that you've been trying to be for the past 30-40 minutes and you finally get through it, you just want to keep going.
Yeah, I think the best part for me is seeing my nephews playing it, because we used to play it back in the 90s, and then having the opportunity for them to play for the first time, I think that's freaking awesome. I love that.
Oh yeah, no, like it's seeing them beat the levels that I couldn't beat makes me feel terrible and like so happy at the same time.
But
I recommend this game highly.
All right, same here, man. All right, but thanks for the review, Nano. Hopefully next time we could do this again in the future and stuff. So until next time, we're out.
Adios.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I know, Paris, you have a couple other topics that you'd like to talk about.
I love how you just dump it on me. Okay. So.
No, you were the one that sent it to us. So I don't, you know.
Okay. We'll talk about it offline, because really I didn't. But okay.
He did.
I did not. You weren't around when you should have. Since you wanted to put the laundry out there, you weren't around this morning. And Pete asked me, are there any topics? I go, well, I think we could talk about this. That's what I said, a-hole. So moving on. No, Todd Howard. I mean, just going on what we were talking about last week with the whole crossplay controversy nonsense. People mad at me on Twitter about this too. It's hilarious. But Todd Howard came out saying in an interview, I forget exactly with who, but it was talking about Fallout 76, and crossplay came up, and he said he would love to be able to do it, but that Sony isn't being the best partner right now. I don't want to misquote him exactly.
I can say it. I have it right up here. Would love to do that, but right now that's not possible. Sony isn't being helpful as we want them to be.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. That's what he said. So again, this just goes back to what we were talking about last week with the whole Fortnite thing. And then Sean Layden came out from PlayStation in another interview and said that, yeah, they're hearing everyone. They're aware of what's going on, and they're looking into possibilities for crossplay. It's just like I said last week. It's going to happen. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen a month from now, but I'd be shocked in a year we're still talking about PlayStation and not doing some form of cross save or crossplay. Another thing that came out, because, you know, my little rant last week, I guess people are hashtag fake outrage that people are upset about this whole thing with Fortnite and the crossplay and the cross save stuff and the whole Epic account thing that you, if you've linked your Epic account at any point to PlayStation Network, you can't unlink it, and Sony is quote unquote holding your account hostage. Okay, so maybe a strong word, hostage. I will actually scale that back, because I guess technically if you make a big enough stink to Epic, you can get it fixed. And I have not done this myself. I've just read this online, so I'm not if this is 100% true. And supposedly part of the reason is once you unlink it, anything that you bought on basically PlayStation Network, you lose. So that's part of it, I think, I guess, from what I've read online. Again, I've not tested this theory myself. And I guess if you make a stink to Epic, they can, quote unquote, on the back end, unlink your account, and then you can go to Xbox and Switch and whatever else you want to do. But here's the thing. I get it, but end of the day, it's still a problem. The main problem is still PlayStation. It is. I don't think it's fair to blame Epic when Epic is obviously allowing it on Xbox and Switch and mobile devices and PC and all that. Just bring the Fortnite thing back. But people like Todd Howard making this a public thing now, all it's going to take is another major developer or publisher also bringing it up, and it's going to be on and on, and eventually Sony's going to have to relent. And it, just going back to what I said at the top of the show, I would love to, at a minimum, just see cross-save. That's all I care about, really. The cross-play stuff, I understand there being barriers and things that may prevent that, but if I have a third-party account, just allow me to freely move it across platforms, so that any progress that I make on one platform, I can have that same progress carry over to the next platform and vice versa. It's all I care about. And at this point in the way technology works and where we are in 2018, we know it can be done. I mean, many developers have said doing the cross-play, cross-save stuff is an easy thing for them to do on the back end. It really just comes down to the publishers actually allowing it. That's it. That's all it is.
I think that would have been cool to see Fallout 76 as a crossplay thing. That would have been awesome, I think.
It's just going to give, it's going to encourage more people to play together, you know, because let's be real here. Not everyone can afford to own every PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. Everyone can't afford all that. Most people only have one, right? So if you, like we're talking right now with a Division 2, Danny, you are not going to build a $2,000 PC. You're just not going to do it, right? So, but you have an Xbox One X. I would prefer to play on the PC. That would be my first option. But I would also like to play with you. So here I am already 8 months out debating, oh, I guess I better have to do it twice because, you know, I want to play with Danny and people on Xbox, but I also want to play on the PC too. Eliminate that. Allow me to do my campaign initial grind on PC, and then once we get to the end game and I want to go do a raid with Danny, I can just hop on the Xbox and go do the raid. That's it. That's all I want to do. Yeah. That's all I want to do. Be it a Division, Destiny, Gwent, any of that stuff where you have a third-party game that we can play cooperatively online, I want to be able to do it with all my friends, not just a certain set of my friends.
Yep. And then right there, you don't have to decide, oh man, should I just continue grinding on the PC, or should I continue grinding?
Yeah, it won't matter.
Well, it's not just that. The biggest thing is having to go through that entire thing all over again from the beginning to the end. That is the biggest. That's the biggest.
I'm literally struggling with that with Destiny right now because I really don't feel like doing the entire grind all over again for all three characters on the PC. I grinded one character on PC. Got it up to current light level. And then I'm looking over, and there's a warlock, and I'm looking like, do I really want to do this again for the Titan? Do I really? I don't want to, because I've already done it on PlayStation 4. I don't feel like doing it again on PC. So I would love to be able to just port my Titan over from PlayStation to PC and just be able to use him there as well. You know?
Remember this conversation with Deej a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I had the same conversation offline with Deej at E3. We're talking about it, and it's they're not going to do it right now. They're not. Nope. It's just for certain reasons they're just not going to do it right now, and I get those reasons. But you know, what are you going to do? it is what it is. Like I said, that's why I would love to see an announcement come out for Division 2 or even Fallout 76, any of these cooperative games moving forward, to where it just becomes a standard that you can at least move your saves across, your progress across platforms. That's all. Yeah. That's all I care about.
Yep. By the way, speaking about Fortnite and all these other games, yesterday they had like a special event that let's say you start playing and there's like a rocket that launch, because I think it's like a preview of what's coming for the next season, I mm-hmm. think. I'm not 100% sure. But it was really cool. You start the game and you see the rocket like launching in the middle of your battle and stuff. And then it will come back and then crash in one of like the locations in the game. And dude, I got to give it to Fortnite, man. Epic, I mean. Epic, they've been always making changes in this game super fast, by the way, that it will make you want to go back and back. And that's the thing. Like, I know, Pete, I know you love PUBG and everything. I just feel like they take way too long for them to add, like, events and stuff. Like, I think it would have been cool if they had, like, a bigger staff, a bigger development team. It would have been better, man, and start adding new things in the game.
See, this is the problem because... And I see both sides, right? Yes, I am the unabashed mm-hmm. PUBG fanboy. I play it 5-6 days out of the week, right? It's a lot easier for Epic to develop and add new features and new things because it's their engine at the end of the day. You know, PUBG and Bluehole, whatever, they've had to go out and recruit developers to add on to what was originally, if you think about it, a mod for a ported game, right? The argument I have against what you just said, Danny, is that they do have events. You just don't see them because you're on the Xbox. Okay. They do have wars and events that occur from, I think it's like Thursday through Monday or Tuesday and stuff like that, where it's everybody jumps into a small circle, you know, a smaller circle on the island, and everybody has ghillies and car 98s and level 3 helmets. You know, or they jump in and everybody comes out with level 3 gear automatically as soon as they land. And it's literally last man standing, but it's, you know, it's essentially team deathmatch. And you have, you know, X amount of time to get to X amount of points, or the team with the most amount of points at the end wins. So it's unfair for you to say that they're not doing these things. They're just not doing them on a scale that's more visible, because right now Fortnite has the lead. They're the undisputed champion right now. They are literally John Cena out on the gaming industry because everybody sees them, everybody likes them, and everybody's giving them the applause. But I think it's unfair for you to be critical in the sense and say that PUBG is not doing this. They're doing the best they can. You know, they did just have this, you know, the announcement that they've got a new map that's coming out, 8x8, you know, it's going to be, you know, snow map and stuff like that. But let's be fair in our criticism. If you're going to criticize them, at least be truthful and don't come out.
Wait.
And don't say that they're not doing stuff. You're saying that they're not doing stuff. You're saying
I don't have a PC. Right. I have an Xbox.
So don't come out and bash it if you don't know.
Yes, because that's the only version that I have. I don't have the PC, so I don't get to see all this.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying, Danny.
But I'm going based on. No, it's not that, Pete. I'm going based on my opinion, on my experience. So I'm not wrong about it because of my opinion. I'm not wrong based on that. You have the PC, so of course you're going to be talking about that version all the time. No, that's the one that you play the most.
I'm not even trying to make this a console thing. I'm just saying, if you're gonna say that, know what you're talking about. You don't see that. But you don't see those things, Danny.
But it's the thing. You either. How do you know about the one that I have?
I know it's not on console. I know it's not on Xbox. Oh, okay. So that's why I can say that.
Yes, I have the right to say that because I'm talking my experience.
Who says you don't have the right to say that, Danny? Why did you just personal argument?
No, it's not that, because you said that my opinion is not truthful. And it's like,
that's not what I said.
Talk about the
I did not say that, Danny. I said you all don't right. know it's, what you're talking about it. Because you're saying rewind, that X, that you're rewind. Saying that PUBG. Did you go ahead and rewind it? Rewind it all you want. You're saying that PUBG doesn't drop features or new game types or game styles when they do.
Yo, okay. I am, hey,
so argue
dude,
all
I'm
you want.
Based.
Go ahead and clip it, rewind it, and you can play it all you want and see that you're wrong.
Yeah,
just admit it.
No, yo, I don't have a PC. I'm talking about the console. You can't stop me.
I love how you. I love how you adjust the narrative to fit your argument. Okay, go ahead.
No,
go
for it. You do this. You do all the time. You do it all the time.
I do
what? PC. You just said it right now because you have the PC version. I don't have a PC, so I'm talking based on my opinion, based on my experience with my console. It's true.
I think PlayStation should allow crossplay. Y'all losing your freaking minds arguing about this. This is nonsense. I understand what Danny is saying. Danny has not seen any of the PC stuff. I get it. I get it. So he can only give his opinion from a console point of view. And Pete obviously has seen it from both sides. So he's giving that perspective. Does that help? Because that's all I have to add. I can't add anything else.
That's it. And your facial experience is classic.
Parents drinking tea like Kermit on the show.
Oh my God. Too funny. Anything else?
That's the summer, man. There's just like not a lot of gaming stuff going on. That's about really. I mean, obviously, like I said, this crossplay thing has been the topic du jour recently. Let me throw my two cents in on this whole PUBG Fortnite thing, and I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I think PUBG is in a spot right now where they're trying to play catch up to mm-hmm. what Fortnite, like Fortnite had the rocket launch yesterday and everybody was losing their minds online. My son was even on there when they launched the rocket thing and all that. But PUBG's engine can't compete with what Epic is doing. That's all it really comes down to. They can't make changes on the fly like Fortnite can. And I think that's why they dropped the lawsuit, all that. They just have to resign themselves to being number two in this whole battle royale thing and go down a path that distinguishes themselves separately from what Fortnite is doing. Fortnite is the new Wii Sports, like I was saying last week. Everybody plays Fortnite. It is not just a quote-unquote competitive game. It is also a casual game. It is a social game. It is something that gets everyone together. Hell, I saw the dumbest article ever that said that Fortnite became a phenomenon because of Drake. And I'm like, get out of here.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But the point is, that's how the mainstream first heard about it, because of Drake. That is true in that sense. Whereas PUBG is never going to have that kind of shine. So PUBG actually just needs to double down on being a hardcore competitive shooter, battle royale shooter. That's what it needs to do. If anything, it needs to worry about what Call of Duty is doing and what Battlefield is doing and what I think potentially The Division is going to do when it comes out with their whole battle royale modes. That's what I think they need to worry about. They need to worry about one of them surpassing them and just let Fortnite be its own thing, because it has gone beyond just being a battle royale game at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what was the point of that, of the developers suing about Fortnite and stuff? Like, I think they sued, but it was in Korea, I believe, right?
Well, they sued in Korea because that was the only place that they could actually functionally do the lawsuit. They couldn't do it on US soil.
Yeah.
And then they dropped the lawsuit at the end of the day. So it was almost like a moot point. And I think at the end of the day, it did more harm than good trying to sue the hands, you know, that feed you. Cause that made no sense. Like, they're letting you license the tool. They've paid big money to Epic for it, but then we want to sue you for using, you know, for using our concept. I don't know. I don't think it was a smart play on Bluehole. And Paris said, you know, they just need to be resigned. They need to play the Microsoft role now, because, you know, like the way that how next gen or this generation in consoles, Fortnite is Sony and PUBG is Microsoft and Xbox.
What's up with Paris? I don't know. Facial impressions. What's going on with Paris? He's so happy right now.
I'm just listening to y'all, man. I ain't doing nothing.
I don't know. You're visual.
He's up to something.
Your facial responses. It's just like somebody says something. Paris gets the wide eyes like, oh.
Paris is up to something, man. I don't know, man.
No,
maybe he's reading.
I'm just listening to the conversation. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, too funny, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback there. Also, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And stay tuned. I'm probably going to release another episode later this week. And that's about it. Summer's a little bit tricky, man. You know, news is not as crazy. I think once we get closer to like Gamescom, we probably get, you know, more great news about the whole gaming industry and stuff. But Paris, are you going to Comic-Con this year or no? Is that July or August?
It's July. July? Third week of July, like around July 19th or something like that. Speaking of, because, you know, David, I posted in our chat yesterday, Rocket League is doing a big thing at Petco Park for a big celebration. And that's like, I think the first day of Comic-Con or something like that. I'm not going because that's too much of a zoo for me. Not doing that. But Mandy's going to be here. So I'm going to try and figure that out so I can hang out with Mandy at least one night or something. But Comic-Con proper, I tapped out on that years ago because the way, and again, I'm not saying this is being like some elitist a-hole or anything, but even if you go as press, you have to stand in line with everyone else to go see anything. And the only reason that's a problem is to go see in the big Hall H stuff, that means I got to camp out overnight, which means I literally miss out on covering the entire show to only be able to cover one or two things. I just felt like it wasn't worth my time. So I just stopped going. I don't think I've been to Comic-Con proper 4 or 5 years. It's been a while. Mm.
Yeah, a lot of the gaming companies that do stuff outside of
Comic-Con. Yeah, that's what I mean. I just go to the stuff off-site. I don't even worry about trying to go into convention center anymore.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right. Anything else, Pete, from you?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
All right. Go Fortnite.
I don't have a problem with Fortnite. It, dude. I've played Fortnite.
I'm messing with you.
Hell, we played Fortnite in freaking E3.
Yeah, we did. All right. Until next time, we're out.
Go buy a PC, a-hole.
Xbox. Enhance Xbox One X.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.